The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jaya Pataka Swami on May 6, 1982 in St. Louis.
I don't know what happens every time I see him, my heart knows. So then later when Lord Chaitanya was in the Mahaprakash, when he was in a mood as when for that 21 hours they did the big arti, so that time he was in his mood as Krishna, and that time he was showing that he was Ramachandra, showing that he was Nrsimhadev, he was showing all these different forms. He showed to Murari Gupta that Murari Gupta was Hanuman. Murari Gupta, when he realized he was Hanuman and saw that Lord Chaitanya was Ramachandra, and that other associates, there were also companions, like then he fainted. He was just overwhelmed when he came back then and saw the Lord Chaitanya. So there's many wonderful pastimes that happened during that period. So one of them was that Lord Chaitanya had called a banana salesman. Banana salesman. Called that street peddler, Kolavacha, sweetheart. So then the devotees went and told him that the Lord is calling you. He just fainted, he couldn't believe it. Why he's calling him to his house, to the house of Srivath. They brought him there, then Lord Chaitanya, they carried him because he fainted, so the devotees carried him. They had to do their duty. When they brought him there, then Lord Chaitanya offered him, you take mystic powers. I want to give you today mystic powers. Not. I'm giving you boon mystic power. No desire for mystic power. Can you take one huge kingdom? You will be the Raja, you will be the king. You'll have thousands of army, thousands of servants. They'll serve you hand and foot. Kolavacha said that no need. So, all right. Today I'm giving you liberation from birth and death. Today you take it, I'm offering you liberation. Kolavacha says, my lord, I have only one desire. Somehow, by your mercy, I'm able to understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are coming down in different incarnations. My only desire is that whenever you come, if I may be allowed to have the service of providing you with all your needs of bananas, sabjis, leaf plates, and do this humble service for you. And when I can see your mischievous, laughing smile, your beautiful face, lotus face, this is all my only desire. And if I'm not allowed to have that benediction, then at least I can associate with your devotees who are always chanting your glories. I have no other desire. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that today I'm giving you the supreme blessing. That which even Brahma, Shiva, they're hankering for, but they don't get. Rarely. Today, I am giving you pure Krishna prema, pure devotional service. And when he said that and gave his blessing to Kolavacha Sridhar, the banana street peddler, to get pure love of God, then all the devotees, they just exploded in ecstatic kirtan. Nitai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Hari. Kolavacha had got that most rare thing, the most wonderful. Because, just see, Prahlad said, the Lord is everywhere. Prahlad, just by his word, it is saying here in this sloka, Lord Narsimhadev, to defend and make true the word of his devotee. So intimate is the relationship of a pure devotee, one who has got love for Krishna, that the Lord, in so many ways, feels obligated to reciprocate with his devotee. He doesn't feel the obligation to give liberation, finish, take mystic power, finish, take your material happiness, finish. But when he's giving pure devotional service, then the link is there. Just like adopting a son. Then Krishna feels some responsibility, there's some special. To such an extent that one time Lord Chaitanya told Haridas Thakur that I, Haridas Thakur, by your chanting of the holy name, you have purchased me. You can do with me whatever you want. By chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can actually purchase Krishna. Krishna had such faith in Haridas Thakur that he was willing to put himself in Haridas Thakur's hand. He also had such faith in Advaita Gosai. So, similarly, of course, the spiritual master, he puts such faith in the disciple that he puts the form of the Lord, the deity, under the care of the disciple to worship. The disciple should be very careful not to let down that faith of the spiritual master, not to fulfill that faith of the spiritual master. It is a great opportunity for the devotees to worship the Lord, but one should be very careful not to commit any offenses to the deity. So Krishna himself, in his original forms, he was willing to put himself in the care of his devotee. But the devotee has completely surrendered to Krishna, completely depends on Krishna, that Krishna, he is also willing to put himself in the care of such a devotee. So this is possible by chanting the holy name of Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj chanted the name of Hare Krishna. Haridas Thakur chanted the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada is always chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And everyone else who chants the holy name of Hare Krishna, they can also, by this sublime process, they can win over the heart of Krishna. He's ajita, he's unconquerable, but he can be conquered by this humble, sincere service attitude. Especially Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Even one may be the most insignificant person materially, he gives the most sublime, causeless mercy, simply if that person surrenders to the chanting of the holy name. If we keep our face to Krishna, then there's no maya. Krishna Surja Sama Maya Hoyandaga Jaha Krishna Taha Maya Nahi Adhikar. But we should not think that by turning our face away from Krishna, that somehow or another we're still going to be in Krishna consciousness. We have to keep our face to Krishna. Krishna Buli Seji Anadir Bahim Muk Otoy Maya Tadar Dai Sansarari Duk. Someone who forgets Krishna, he is considered to become under Bahirmukh. That means he becomes materially situated. That means that Maya gives him again repeated birth and death. So we should be very careful not to forget Krishna. We should be very careful to remember Krishna, following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is the example of a devotee who always remembered the Lord. So we can pray to Prahlad Maharaj today, how for his blessing that we may always remember the Lord and his devotional service. And we can also pray to Lord Narsimhadev that by his mercy, the demon of material desire may be rooted out from our heart, so that we can follow in the footsteps of great devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, Kolavicha Sridhar, Srila Prabhupada. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Dvaita
Radha Shiva Sri.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama.
So, are you saying that that by chanting Hare Krishna, that takes it off the idealistic platform, and we might ideally want to follow Prahlad Maharaj, Kolavicha Sridhar, even we might ideally want to follow Srila Prabhupada, but, you know, practically speaking, you know, our hearts are polluted with all these things, and so chanting Hare Krishna is it what takes it off that idealistic platform of wanting to follow these people, but, you know, they're just being kind of a dream.
There are 9 practices of devotional service. The first 2 are chanting and hearing. In a Kali Yuga, there has to be chanting and hearing. If you can do additional practices, then those also will be helpful. Prahlad was remembering all this Krishna. Other devotees, they prayed to Lord Krishna. You pray to Prahlad Nrisimhadeva on an auspicious day like today, requesting their special mercy for the ability to perform this devotional service. All these things help to take it off the idealistic platform. If you have the ideal and you work for it, and the absolute platform, you will achieve it. It's not that because today I have material thoughts and I'm chanting Hare Krishna and I'm struggling to overcome those thoughts, that just because I have material thoughts, therefore, I should become hopeless or something. Then we're guaranteed, if we follow by chanting, if we stick in faith to the process, and we don't give up the struggle. Even some people, in different times, they may have more of a struggle than others. That may be because another person has already been struggling for 4 births, for 10 births, for so many births, in devotional service, or 2 births. And this person, he may actually, although he may be an 8-year-old devotee, another devotee may be 4-year. What if that 4-year devotee was an associate or been practicing devotional service for 10 births? And the person that was just initiated 8 years ago, but he's only been practicing for 4 births. So you may see, well, one person seems to have a more struggle. The point is that Srila Prabhupada is guaranteed if we just don't give up the struggle. Even we have difficulty, if somehow we stick to it, chanting, maintaining our vows, even we stumble, we forget, if we again come and we instate ourselves, practice very sincerely, trying, even those little stumbles, but we can try, we don't give up, we don't sin on the strength of chanting, we try to the best of our ability. Even if sometimes we may not come up to what we can, you know, what is the actual mark, but we keep on trying and trying, then by Krishna's mercy we're pulled back. But if we stop the struggle, what's the use? And it's just cowardly. We may have so many excuses. Prabhupada, he would sometimes cry to think of devotees struggling against their senses, struggling against the material contamination. He considered it glorious. That struggle is not idealistic. When we get second initiation, doesn't mean immediately we're a qualified Brahman and now we have the opportunity to become a Brahman. Sometimes we think, now I'm living in the temple, immediately I must be already a pure devotee. No, now we have the opportunity to associate with devotees, to practice devotional service, to learn how to become a pure devotee. To become a pure devotee. But immediately we all identify ourselves as being very advanced, and we stop to struggle, we become lax, our senses become more powerful, and we're put in difficulties. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya told us, be always more humble than the straw on the street, more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false presence. Don't think you're already a devotee, when you're just becoming a devotee, when you're becoming a devotee may mean 50 years becoming a devotee. Prahlad Maharaj, he was the greatest devotee, but he didn't say, yes, I'm your pure devotee. Now you can give me anything. I won't fall in Maya. No, he said, I don't want anything. I simply want your devotional service. But Krishna said, no, but I want you to rule in the place of your father, and I'll protect your consciousness from falling into illusion. That's another thing. Krishna told him, no, you have to be a king. But for his own part, he wasn't desiring, I should have this, I should have that. I will be a millionaire for Krishna. What if Krishna doesn't want you to be a millionaire for Krishna? What if he wants you to be a Sankirtan devotee for Krishna? Or what if he wants you to be something else? We may have an idea, let me be a millionaire for Krishna. This is the greatest service I can. That's karma yoga. We're doing what we want to do and then offering it to Krishna. We're keeping our independent desire and then saying, let me do this and give it to Krishna. Therefore, Prahlad, he had the perfect desire. That's all right, that's better than someone who has no relationship with Krishna. But that doesn't mean that necessarily we'll be successful at being a millionaire for Krishna, unless that's Krishna's desire. But the pure devotee, he surrendered to whatever Krishna wants. So Prahlad happened to be a prince. So Krishna wanted that he should also be a king for Krishna. You see, every materialist would like to be a millionaire. Some people are millionaires. And they could be millionaires for Krishna just by a little adjustment of their consciousness. But that doesn't mean that every beggar in the street that becomes a devotee and still has a desire to be a millionaire then thinks, now I'll be a millionaire for Krishna because there are so many millionaires for Krishna in the Vedas. That doesn't mean that that desire is not tinged with a little bit of material contamination. And he may end up trying to be a millionaire and forgetting about Krishna. So one should rather remain on the path of trying to be a devotee and being open to do whatever service is within one's capability. Some people may be millionaires for Krishna, some may be doctors for Krishna, some may be chaplains for Krishna, some may be preachers for Krishna, some may be housewives for Krishna. One should be careful not to wander off beyond the shelter of Krishna. Beyond the shelter of what's authorized by the spiritual master. Because there's some leeway that we can dovetail certain propensities, but if we allow the propensities to take charge and the pure devotion to reduce, then we'll be finished. So this struggle to always keep dovetailed, and when it's not dovetailable, when it's too dangerous, we don't do it. We don't come down to the conditional level. Even there's a little struggle, that's not idealistic. That's realistic. We have material desires, we have material thoughts, and now we're trying to think of Krishna, we're trying to engage our intelligence in Krishna and take our mind off all these material desires. And for that we're chanting, we're hearing, we're associating, we're praying, we're serving, we're surrendering. And this way we're becoming purified. Yes?
Srila Jayadeva, you were discussing how we should be careful not to offend the deity.
Yes?
You mentioned also earlier that about the Muslim Jayadeva who was elected to offer puja to her machine being Shah Natura because he was not following the guidance. So I also read once that Jayadeva Kirtan says that one son who was bad can wreak havoc on the whole family tradition. So it may also be applied in the case of the Pujari breaks the regulars of principles but continues worshiping, and also wreak havoc on the whole family.
If there's some offense in the, to the deity, major offense, I believe that Prabhupada said there is a system you have to bathe the deity in milk, and that Srila Prabhupada mentioned that even the cook if the cook is not spiritually strong, and then the it can affect the devotee's consciousness by eating the food cooked by the cook if his breaking principles are not following properly. So, of course, cooks, pujaris, although sometimes a person who was having spiritual difficulty was given the service of the puja because it's a very purifying service with help from the control of senses. But, of course, one has to be very careful when doing these services not to break the principles, and a temple has to be very careful that these important services are not, the people who are performing them are very strict in their behavior. Although it's purifying for them, because it's easier for one in such a proximity to the Lord to try to be very pure and be very careful. If in spite of that one continues breaking principles, of course then it is dangerous not only for themselves but for others also, proportionately. What do you think, George?
I think that I have to get going soon because it's getting late.
One more question?
You were talking about how we want to engage our intelligence in Krishna so that we want to be very diligent to keep kicking out all the material desires that may or may not come. And you were talking about the realistic platform, the realistic service. How can we, can you elaborate more on how we can further strengthen our intelligence? Because the intelligence has to be more powerful than the mind. If one has a real powerful mind, it means he has weak intelligence, you know. The mind is overpowered his intelligence. So how can we further strengthen our intelligence to an unlimited degree so we won't be overpowered by our strong, color-yogi minds?
Would you like to give answers to the minds?
Well, I answer these questions all the time, but if you hear the same questions, get daily.
The point is that there's no, apart from getting some special mercy from the previous acharyas, which of course one can always pray for, that's a special secret. But apart from that, the process of devotional service is a gradual process. And there's no other shortcut, apart from some special mercy. One has to just very methodically, very systematically work at becoming more serious, engaging the mind, the words, and the activities in Krishna service. There's no use of in class and how do we become more serious and how, then you walk out and then immediately sit down and have a half hour gossip session. And then three times while you're gossiping, Krishna told you in your heart that you're wasting your time. You should be getting ready for Sankirtan, or you should be doing this or that. But then, you know, you just don't bother to try. So then the first time, after the second time, you're told in your heart that I'm wasting time, it's finally, all right. You know. Then the next time, after the first 5 minutes of it, you start feeling guilty. And then after that, it's only 1 minute and you feel guilty. And after that, it's only half a minute. And pretty soon, you can't tolerate even 10 seconds of useless talk. But this happens by desire that even after you make a mistake, then you repent, you think that I could have used my time better, I could have done this, and then you pray to Krishna, you pray to your mind, that mind, you rascal, you allowed me to fall into this maya. Please, Krishna, give me the strength. Prabhupada, my spiritual master, please give me the strength. Then you're more determined. Next time when you come, then when you're reminded, Krishna gives you that memory. He gives us memory, forgetfulness, and knowledge. Because we have the desire, the memory comes up. Then we try a little harder to avoid it. And like this, it's a continuous practice. It's not going to work without the desire of the devotee also, with the struggle of the devotee. We always want, you know, some, you know, magic touch. Just, you know, we're told about the story of how one great Indian sadhu, so-called great, anyway, went to his spiritual master and asked for that special blessing. And then his spiritual master blessed him And then suddenly the disciple screamed, fell down on the ground, unconscious. And he, when he came awake, the guru was crying, I lost all my power, it's all gone, I've given it all to you. And he was crying that now I'm powerless, I've transferred everything, like by electric shock. And then the disciple, he had all the power, and the guru was there without any power. He had been completely stripped of all his shakti. So this Prabhupada says is completely bogus. It's not how divine power is transferred, that the guru then gives his blessing to this disciple, and then the guru is like, finished. And now the disciple, like that. So these are all good for the fictitious storytellers and for the concocted spiritual master, so on and so forth. But the actual process that we stick to is sadhana bhakti. And we're hankering for the special mercy. That special mercy, you want to know the quick, the easy way. You hanker for the special mercy and you keep asking to the previous acharyas for the special, ask to the deities, I am the most fallen, I need the special mercy. But then, at the same time, you show your sincerity, you go on with the gradual process of sadhana bhakti, trying sincerely, praying, trying at every time, to whittle down the gap between perfection and where you are. And the closer you get, one still thinks that I could be a little better. And the proof that this attitude remains there continuously is the topmost liberated internal potency. Aladini Shakti of the Lord Radharani, we know from the fifth volume of the Antya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, she's also always desiring when is her devotional service going to really become good. When she'll be able to actually satisfy Krishna more. She's already the only one able to completely satisfy Krishna, but she's thinking that what I'm able to do is not good enough. When will I be able to actually perform devotional service? So in this way, of course, as one gets closer and closer to devotional service, finally one gets so close that although he may think that, well, I can improve in so many ways, it's actually already at that percentage where a person gets pure Krishna prema, is completely liberated from the material world. And then it's just a completely on the spiritual platform. Then there's not any more struggle. Then the devotional service is spontaneous. But within that spontaneity, there's still always a desire to increase the service. So we should already, even right now, we may be struggling with our material desires. At that time, it's just, it's not a struggle anymore, but it's always a desire to increase our service and to be more pleasing to Krishna, the transcendental competition. It'll have another expression in the spiritual world. It's no longer a struggle. Here it may be a struggle because we're attached to other things, so then we don't want to give up those attachments. But we already get in the mood of giving up material attachments, of trying to please Krishna, trying to come close to devotional service, as I explained. And this mood will carry us right through. It's called seva bhav, service attitude. That will take us right through, even into our liberated state. Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna.
Jai Hare Krishna.
Jai Hare Krishna.